CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Judy Dempsey of Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. We're discussing first Olaf Scholz's decision-making these last days about tanks, yes, warplanes, no, arms race, no, looking for business in China, looking for business in South America, the tour of Buenos Aires, of Santiago, of now and then in Brasilia, looking for business for Germany. Why? This headline from the Financial Times. German economy shrinks as soaring energy costs pinch demand. First paragraph, the German economy unexpectedly contracted by 0.2% in the final quarter of 2022 as high gas prices squeezed demand and placed the Eurozone manufacturing powerhouse on the brink of recession. At the same time, we have a headline in Bloomberg 20 hours later. Eurozone may dodge recession after surprise growth. Eurozone has Ireland to thank for surprise year-end growth. We celebrate for Ireland, but I go to Judy on the opinion in the Bundestag and in the news about contraction. That is part of the war fighting, Judy. Is there a sense now that sooner rather than later end this conflict? Is that also a voice in Berlin?
Curious you mentioned this, and you do bring it up from time to time. No, there are two parallel elements going on. One is the continuing war and the kind of acceptance among the German public that this will continue. And the other side is that what's happening to the economy. Well, let's look at some practical things. Unemployment is low. It's extraordinary, actually, how the unemployment figures are very low. There's a tiny little blip in Brandenburg, employment is going up in Berlin. I mean, it's just very buoyant at the moment. This is the first thing. Secondly, the energy prices will be going down slowly, which is good news, but they will get translated very slowly into people's pockets. But that's one element. The inflation rate is terribly high, and it's affecting all sorts of things, consumer prices, what you buy. And I think people are beginning to save, but there's no point in saving because the interest rates are just so appalling. But the growth, interestingly, despite the figures today, Germany seems to be weathering the storm at the moment, and GDP is not being hit that badly as the economists had predicted. It's quite stable, so it's not as bad as one would think. And I think the government is trying to be quite cautious on how they present the figures.
Your climate, Judy. I beg pardon, but I ask across the European plain and even in the Indo-Pacific now, because it's undetermined whether the climate is a factor in the future, but it is certainly a climate is a factor now. We're having a very mild winter in New England. Same report in other parts of Europe, London, for example, snow in the south of France. How has the climate in general been in Germany? Do the meteorologists comment that this is unusual year or regular?
Well, there's been a snap of cold weather here. We have forgotten what the cold weather has been like because it was a very mild November, very mild December. January wasn't too cold. It's gone into the minus temperatures now, -2, -3. It's not that big a deal. Down in the south in Bavaria and on the borders with Austria, they're quite lucky. There's a bit of snow so they can ski. But actually, the German government and indeed other European governments have been extremely lucky because it has given the time to diversify, to find new resources of energy, to fill up the reserves for gas and other oil and other issues. But so far, tomorrow is February. So far, the weather hasn't really been perishingly cold. And actually, this is a great plus for Europe and a great negative element for President Vladimir Putin of Russia.
The question of autonomy, it comes up all the time now because of these warplanes and main battle tanks and who knows what else is in the arsenal. We know the fear is about the bombs, but certainly before that, there are a lot of weapons that can cause a lot of damage and make this war permanent. I go to Monica Suss, associate professor at the Polish Academy of Sciences, responding to your question about European autonomy. And I paid a lot of attention to Poland, not the least because Poland is at the front of the front line, has a long history of enmity with Moscow, and is now talking about F-16 planes from Poland to Ukraine. So Professor Suss says, fortunately, the endless and unproductive debate about the meaning of the term autonomy is indeed over. This discussion has not contributed much, but it has only antagonized European countries among themselves, as well as part of the American establishment. Gone too are the days of when Europeans felt safe and did not have to worry about having sufficient capabilities to ensure their own security. The Russian invasion of Ukraine showed how wrong they were in this naive belief. That is a trenchant way of summarizing the point of view of the front lines. Is that a uniform opinion across the European plane in your measure, Judy?
No, it isn't. I find this Polish view very interesting, because if you're going to bring in the whole question of F-16s, well, Poland is going to need the security umbrella from the United States. And President Biden so far is not willing to send in the F-16s. And we actually have to think about what this would do if you send in F-16s. It does beg the question whether there should have been a no-fly zone much earlier in the war, yes. But that's a different issue.
Yes.
The Polish view of strategic autonomy is very interesting, because they don't want to go down this road because they don't trust France, they don't trust Germany, they trust the United States, and they believe strategic autonomy is a kind of way of loosening the transatlantic relationship despite the reassurances of Europe. This is the first point. Secondly, the shortcomings of the Polish view is that we do need some kind of strategic autonomy if and when, and it's already happening, the United States really does focus on China and Southeast Asia. And Europe has to decide, is it going to go along with this view, or is it going to develop a kind of strategic autonomy that can protect itself when and if the United States goes somewhere else? So I'm beginning to think that the strategic autonomy issue has to be revived in a very constructive, practical way, because the relationship with the United States and Europe will have to change once this war in Ukraine is over.
Judy Dempsey is the editor-in-chief for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace of Strategic Europe, which I recommend. You can sign up very easily on the Carnegie Europe site, and you hear the many voices from the European Union across the European plane. This is a Ukraine war. This is a European war. This is a global North war. This is a world war. And the opinions ahead are mixed. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.